Welcome back to the Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Barrett on Mondays and Fridays and Jim Fester the middle 3 days of the week. I am Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today, this fine Thursday. And in the second hour, my guest is Andrew Johnson from Derbyshire, England. He graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Computer Science and Physics, and he has a background in software engineering, in telecommunications and process control. But apparently he escaped the corporate world and now works as a student assessor, part-time tutor for the Open University in the UK. He works mainly from home, so there's nobody from the corporate or, well, there's probably somebody looking over his shoulder. The UK's got to keep its national security, doesn't it? But he can work from home and does. And please visit his website, checktheevidence.com. He got interested in 9/11 research in 2004 and has been trying to understand what happened on that day, trying to learn and teach people like Morgan Reynolds and Dr. Judy Wood. And he's an especially astute student of how the 9/11 cover-up has been working, and who may be wearing a white hat but actually is a black hat. Hey, Andrew, welcome to the Dynamic Duo.
It's a great pleasure to be speaking with you, Morgan.
It, and same here. You know, we've not had this one-on-one conversation. I think we've done a couple of these group calls on Skype. But, you know, the theme music here is from the Beatles, your countrymen, and I can recall back in college, one of my buddies said he was from Croton-on-Hudson in New York State, up from New York City, and he made the remark that it was just tragic that we were corrupting England's music community. And I wonder if I would talk to him today, you know, if he wouldn't have a different opinion of what the Beatles have contributed to our culture and, you know, entertainment.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Yes.
Yes, I think the Beatles obviously initially took a lot from, you know, the U.S. Rock scene, and then they sort of did their own thing after a while, I think, once they got popular. So, yeah, it's an interesting
kind
of...
Yeah, brilliant stuff, you know. My admiration for John Lennon has just grown and grown over the years. Yeah. Well, maybe partly because he was probably a victim of an MK Ultra assassination, but and was a threat to the regime.
There's actually a film, if you can get hold of it. Somebody sent me a copy. It's called The U.S. versus John Lennon, and it was released about a couple of years ago. And they've actually got some former CIA people saying, you know, how they were actually targeting John Lennon, and they wanted to get him out of the country. And they go on the record with some pretty amazing stuff, actually. So if anybody's interested in tracking down that film.
I've seen that on one of the Discovery or History Channel or whatever. It was a 1 hour show. Really good. Then there's also a very good book on John Lennon, and I can't recall what the title is, et cetera. I'm looking over at the books on my shelf. Okay, but Andrew, let's go to 9/11 business, and maybe we'll range even further as the hour unfolds. But you have been involved with a debate, we'll call it, with Jim Fetzer about something Ace Baker, another 9/11 researcher, said on the Dynamic Duo a month or so ago, but... And I wanted to use this first segment for hearing your side of the story. What happened?
Yeah, it's very strange and rather upsetting, really, because we'd had this exchange, you know, over what's been going on with John Hutchison and Judy Wood, and Ace was previously on this program and said that he'd been receiving hate correspondence from Andrew Johnson and so forth, and I was pretty surprised when I heard this because... you know, I know what the definition of hate correspondence is, or hate mail. You know, you can look it up in the dictionary. It's fairly specific, and it's got to include insults or threats or something of that nature. And I don't send emails like that out. I just don't do it. because I have no reason to do it. All I do is I ask people questions, and I ask them, you know, to explain. I will challenge them, you know, to explain their conclusions about something. And so I basically did this, you know, to Ace Baker and said, could he send me the message that he thought was hate mail? And over a period of several emails, he was not able to send me a copy of this message. And then Jim Fetzer said that he wasn't sure what the definition of hate correspondence was. So I sent him the definition from my dictionary and asked him, you know, if either of them could produce this message from me which had hate correspondence in it. They couldn't do that, and so they tried to redefine what hate correspondence was, and then Ace Baker, rather than apologizing, tried to redefine who I was and said that people who I was on the same email list as had sent him, you know, hate correspondence, and, you know, that kind of meant that I was included in that list. I mean, you know, I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's basically what he said. And I've posted all this information into an article on checktheevidence.com so people can go and read it and read the actual emails that were sent in this regard. You know, and so I don't have a problem with people disagreeing with, you know, anything that I say or the conclusions that we draw. But, you know, I do have a problem with people making stuff up, you know, and saying stuff which didn't happen. And that's a bit different than just having a disagreement, you know.
Well, and one aspect of it was that you requested that Fetzer read a statement about from you, your side of this, and he refused to do so.
Well, basically, yes. I asked him, I said, well, look, you know, I mean, people make mistakes and there's confusion, you know, and people in the heat of the moment and stuff like that, you know, I mean, obviously that happens and it's happened to me. So I said, well, you know, unless you can produce this message, will you read out this statement? This didn't actually happen. You know, and I wrote out a statement that I would have liked him to have read out on this program, you know, soon after this took place. But he refused to do this. I asked him twice, and he refused to do this. So, you know, I just left it at that. I thought, well, if he's, you know, I can't, there's nothing I can do if he's not going to read it out. I'm just appealing to his, you know, goodwill to read this out, and he wouldn't do it. So, you know, I just left it and moved on, really.
Well, do you think of yourself as rather thin-skinned, Andrew?
You know, I mean, people say this. They say, oh, you know, you're being too sensitive. And I've had some criticism from a couple of people for posting this article up. You know, but you've got to be pretty thick-skinned to sort of keep going in this because, you know, if you take the slightest, you know, knock seriously, then you just won't continue in trying to get to, you know, what it is that's actually happened.
You have to have a bit of a thick skin to persist in this for years because there's so much in the way of attacks and on content as well as personality. And bad language and the like, but I can vouch for Andrew in my dealings with Andrew that you wouldn't meet a nicer, more straightforward person. Well, I haven't met Andrew, but I just know a lot about dealing with Andrew, and he's a gentleman.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have him as an activist in 9/11. And on the other side of the break, let's learn from Andrew Johnson what's going on with 9/11 and 7/7 over there on the other side of the pond. This is Morgan Reynolds. Please come back, Dynamic Duo. Welcome back to the Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Barrett on Mondays and Fridays and Jim Fetzer the middle 3 days of the week. I am Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today. And my guest this second hour is Andrew Johnson from England. And he is a software engineer. He has a degree in computer science and physics. He's very, I'd say, he's physical science oriented, but he's also very good on the human front in terms of how the 9/11 cover-up has been working or working us over since that fateful morning. And Andrew, I wanted to ask you one of these macro type questions about the atmospherics over there in the UK, the cultural, political, social scene with respect to 9/11. Now we're seeing economic insecurity, this ongoing, this slow motion wreck where the malinvestment, the overconsumption is surfacing in our financial markets, and now it's considered global. So who knows? That might help us in terms of undermining confidence in the central government. Might help us on the 9/11 front. But what is your feeling or observation about what's going on there since they staged their own mini 9/11?
Well, I think just as a general answer, it's pretty much the same as in the States, really. We've got very much the same situation financially, perhaps kind of on a somewhat less panicked scale, really. I mean, we had one of the UK banks that was taken over by the government about 4, 5, 6 months ago, and we had scenes on the news of hundreds of people queuing down the street to go into the branch to get out their savings, you know, and this building society had lost, this bank rather had lost, so many millions of pounds. And then we've had one of the big mortgage lenders has also been, again been taken over by the government, nationalised, the Halifax, I think it's called, HBOS, the Halifax Bank of Scotland Group. And that's been also, been taken over by the government. And this has happened, sort of more or less in step with what's been going on over there. We've had repeated Al-Qaeda stories. We had one the other day. I forget exactly what it was, that some Muslim person had been arrested in connection with Al-Qaeda. That was put out on the news. In fact, I know what it was. There was a person arrested in the city of Leeds, which is quite near to where I grew up. And the city of Leeds is where these supposed suicide bombers came from, and there's been a police search of a flat there. That happened about 3 days ago. So it's like they're trying to keep alive this myth of the suicide bombers. And one of the key pieces of evidence in that story is that the train that these people were supposed to have caught from Luton, which is about 40 miles north of London, down into London, that actual train was cancelled on that day, and we've got a letter from the rail manager which shows that that train was cancelled, so they couldn't have caught that train into the city.
Flights 11 and 77 database.
It's exactly the same. And the government, Tony Blair came on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on 7-7 and said, this board bears all the hallmarks of an Al-Qaeda attack, before any forensic sort of examination of anything. We have Peter Power saying that he was running these exercises. Benjamin Netanyahu was there on the day. Giuliani was there on the day in London.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendous. It really
is. It's so dirty. It's dirty and rotten.
Yeah.
And, one of the benefits we might have regarding 9/11 and ultimately getting some justice in the form of convictions of real perpetrators is that, hey, it's so in your face, this corruption is so obvious about on-budget bailout bills for the well-to-do of Wall Street, people making off with millions of dollars. It's just so outrageous. And we had a huge outpouring where the U.S. House representatives were just, their mail and telephone calls were running 300-1 against this bailout. Well, of course, they repackaged it, porked it up, and ultimately passed it to show how little the people matter. But I think it helps to see how in your face and how deep and wide the corruption is.
I agree, and I think also, I was listening to Naomi Wolf's interview that she did. I think it was on about the 4th of October, and I found that a very good summary for somebody like me. I don't understand all the sort of deep economics that you do and everything, but, she basically said that it was a coup, but I suppose it's a coup which has been set up over a period of time, since 9/11, really, and it's been a progressive type of coup, and I think this, the way that the power structure has been shifted around with the financial kind of, you know, corruption that's kind of come out very much as you just described.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a coup. It was more of an exercise of the real government in power, you know, the powers that be. But, hey, I have a related question since you mentioned Al-Qaeda and, you know, be afraid. We arrested a few more patsies. You know, Nafis, Mossadegh Ahmed there in London, who was a very limited hangout guy.
He had
one of the articles in the book edited by Paul Zaremka called The Hidden History, 9/11. And Ahmed, who I met once at one of these confabs, but his article, which is called Terrorism and Statecraft, Al-Qaeda and Western Covert Operations After the Cold War, he argues that, you know, Al-Qaeda was really the base, meant the database of the CIA.
Yeah.
And that, of course, the Al-Qaeda myth is an invention principally of the Western military intelligence services, et cetera. And this article is actually pretty good. It doesn't directly, you know, touch on 9/11, but even coming from a guy like him, it raises all the right issues and shows you a bunch of things that are surprising, I think, to many people about Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this is a real problem because you know, you get somebody like him, and just as you say, for bringing you into the picture and looking at the story of Al-Qaeda and finding how manufactured and full of holes it is, it's very good. But then, you know, I've corresponded with Nafis. I didn't really know that much about him until... you know, quite a way into my studies of 9/11, and I corresponded with him about your research and Dr. Wood's research, you know, and maybe I'll talk about that after the break.
Okay, why don't we want to hear more from Andrew Johnson on the other side of the break? Don't go away. To the Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Barrett on Mondays and Fridays and Jim Fetzer, the middle 3 days of the week. I am Morgan Reynolds, your guest host for this Thursday. And my guest this hour is Andrew Johnson. Andrew has training in computer science and physics. He has a background in software engineering. He's a techie kind of guy. And he currently works as a tutor and student assessor for the Open University in the UK. He is speaking to us today from Derbyshire, England, his home. And he manages checktheevidence.com, so visit his website. And Andrew, you say that you've been trying to understand 9/11 since 2004, and that reminds me of Robert Gates, Bob Gates, the current Secretary of Defense in the evil empire, and he said he was president of Texas A&M University, and for him it was all easy. When I did this article that caught so much attention back in June 2005, he said the American people know what they saw with their own eyes on September 11, 2001. To suggest any kind of government conspiracy in the events of that day goes beyond the pale. So it was pretty easy for him, and here we are working trying to unravel it. Andrew, we have Robert on the phone from Arizona, and Robert wants to ask a question, I suppose.
Yes, Dr. Reynolds, thank you for taking the time to invest your life in this process. I just really tip my hat to people like you and Andrew and Dr. Fetzer.
Thank you.
I have a question concerning the video evidence according to the networks. I've been watching a series of videos titled September Clues, and I noticed one of the videos shows what's called the dive bomber shot that shows the 767 starting out approximately close to 1,000 feet above its impact point in the last 5 seconds of its life on Channel 9 in the, I believe it's the New York market. And then there are many, many other network feeds that show a relatively level and straight-in approach in the last 5 seconds of the lifespan of that same alleged Flight 175. And I'm having a lot of trouble reconciling the two differences. And I felt so strongly about it, I got a website with 5 terabytes of capacity per month, and I put up a full version of September Clues on my website to share with people, and I'd love to give you the website if you're interested.
Please do.
It's network76.com. That's all you have to do. Just scroll down the page. You'll see a large place where you should just click on the link for September Clues, and you can download the whole version. It's a little over 500 megabytes or around that. And it allows a person to burn it to a CD and share it with friends.
Okay, Andrew, you wanted to comment.
Yeah, a couple of things. That's great. I'm glad you've done that because I did exactly the same, and you can also get the files from septclues.com. I contacted Simon Shack, who created that. I can't remember if he contacted me or I contacted him. But, yes, I did exactly the same. And it's very interesting to hear from you, Robert, because I believe you called into Kevin Barrett's program, I think maybe a couple of weeks ago. And I think if the same pattern is followed, the next caller we get, Morgan, will be Alex Jones, because he called in immediately after Robert to say that all the no-planers were completely
crazy. Well, bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah. And I actually wrote an article about this because what Alex Jones said was so extraordinary. And I know that you also discussed it with... John, was it John Lear, I think, you had on last week or the week before?
Yes, Lear and Joe Keith, yeah.
So this is interesting that Robert's called us, Morgan, because he was the guy who prompted that call from Alex Jones that you were discussing previously, so that's very interesting.
So the inference I'm drawing, Andrew, that you're suggesting is Robert is a good guy getting the word out on this anomaly or fakery, and Alex Jones is threatened by this. And
because he went into the making stuff up mode because he said that the space beamers and the no-planers had been on TV, you know, and so they'd soiled the water for Alex Jones such that when Alex goes on TV, they all call him nuts because of what people like us have said, although he didn't name any of us.
Andrew?
So, that was very interesting.
Go ahead, Robert.
I take the position that it's neither no planes versus planes. I think the images we were shown were deliberately doctored, and these people were so arrogant, they did so without double-checking everything to keep their storyline straight. They falsified so much video and so much audio that it's clear that there's no way that this is the same scene that we're seeing from every source. I think something hit the building, but I don't think the something that hit the building is what we were shown. And this concept requires a little more than your brain stem. It requires that you use some frontal lobe thinking and a bit of your imagination. You have to get it that these people that did this are devious, but they are very arrogant, and they've essentially tripped themselves up. And I do not believe for a second that nothing hit those buildings, but I do sincerely believe that what we were shown was not what we got.
Something surely hit it in the sense that we had sudden holes, airplane-shaped holes.
Sure.
There wasn't any flying object that hit it. Certainly not an aluminum plane type object, because there weren't any parts there below the scene. There weren't any in the holes, etc. Now maybe you could construct a case for some kind of a tiny missile drone type thing. You know, some people played with that idea with a holographic projection around it and so on. I say, hey, develop that if you would. But right now, I don't know enough to endorse it either.
I don't either, but I do know that there's something wrong with what we were shown in allegedly real time. And I believe Simon Shack did the world a service by discovering the 17-second audio glitch and also these various network, you know, visions that we were handed that obviously contradict one another when you set them side by side, especially that first thing I brought up, which is about 20 minutes into the full video.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert, thank you for your call. Robert wants to show you the September Clues dive bomber anomaly on network76.com. Network76.com. Well, Andrew, interesting that Robert called, and now we await Alex Jones, perhaps, to squash
it. Maybe, yeah. Well, let's bring him on and see what he's got to say and see if he can give us some evidence.
I'd like to engage him, because actually in that commentary where he called into, I guess that was the Truth Jihad Radio, Kevin Barrett hosts that show on another network, and he mentioned that, oh, you know, I help promote these people. I think he had somebody like me in mind, because if you go back over 3 years ago, I was on his show. But this was before I became known as a known planer. So he regretted that, apparently. Well, we will return with more on the dynamic duo with Andrew Johnson from Derbyshire, England, on the other side of the break. Don't go away. The Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Barrett on Mondays and Fridays and Jim Fetzer the middle 3 days of the week. I am Morgan Reynolds, your guest host for today, Thursday, October 9, 2008. And I have a most fascinating guest, Andrew Johnson, for this second hour from Derbyshire, England. Andrew is is trained in computer science and physics, and he has been a software engineer and is a tutor, student assessor at the Open University in the UK. And he is a fine mind, researcher, activist on 9/11. And he has a website, checktheevidence.com. And this isn't quite on point, but there are interesting things there. And one caught my eye because Andrew shows that moon transporter that raises a question, because there aren't any tire tracks. How did it get there? It looks like the Apollo moon landing was a hoax. But you have another piece on here that asks the question, can the Hubble telescope see the Apollo craft on the moon? And you do these calculations and come to the conclusion, well, the Hubble telescope, I guess, isn't powerful enough to see this lander that would have been there had one of these Apollo landings been legit.
That's correct. I just pause for a minute, because I wanted very much to say, to thank you, Morgan, and thank Dr. Wood for all the actual action that you've taken over 9/11. And I think people should remember who has taken the action and exactly the nature of that action, you know, before thinking, you know, of other things. And it's very important to remember that, who's actually put their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
I really want people to remember that and think about that very carefully, because I think it helps a lot in understanding how the cover-up is working. I really just wanted to get that in, you know, very much.
No, that's very good, and I thank you, and I know Dr. Wood does. Her case is still live in that we decided we'll appeal her case. The judge at the district court level rolled all three cases together. Mine was a no-plane case against the NIST contractor. Contractors are lying and covering up. And hers was about the destruction, the disintegration, the process of why the WTC went away, in effect. And then the Ed Haas case, which is completely different, trying to halt the WTC-7 NIST study. Wasn't even the same cause of action. And then the judge had a 13-page decision, which was badly crafted. It never addressed my arguments about why I was a legitimate plaintiff or any content about how NIST was and its contractors were lying. And he was very intemperate. And by the way, he even brought up the JFK assassination and the skeptics about the Apollo moon landing. In other words, he's just painting with a wide smeared brush. And then our attorney, Jerry Liebhardt, crafted this motion to reconsider, very finely drafted in my non-expert opinion, and the judge dismissed it the same day, in other words, within an hour or two. So he never read it. So that's just the way Judy Wood has put it to me is we don't have a justice system. My argument is that, hey, they cannot withstand discovery. In other words, if you had a knowledgeable plaintiff like us or a knowledgeable prosecutor, and these got perp defenders, had to testify under oath, we'd catch them in just about every lie they would make.
Yeah.
So they cannot withstand discovery. And I therefore say the justice system won't allow any of these knowledgeable type prosecutions or civil actions to go forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back to how the cover-up is working, people are refusing to discuss it. We mentioned the fees are, you know, Mossadegh, and he wouldn't discuss this in email. You know, he started off with the Thermites nonsense, you know, and I tried to sort of explain to him because I didn't know where he actually was and how much he knew. But it's, you know, it becomes very clear very quickly that people just want to ignore this evidence and then just stick to, taking down the Al-Qaeda myth and then just going no further, because that's what people like Nafees seem to have done. They take down the Al-Qaeda myth and then they sort of seem to leave it at that, or they'll go to the, you know, the apparent explosions in the building, apparent explosions, and then they'll just leave it at that. They won't go any further. And they won't be
and this is really a fallback theory for the perpetrators. So you got to wonder, aren't these people, running interference?
Yeah.
Aren't they part of the cover up? Are they interference for the perps?
Yeah.
Now you've studied this issue, and the best quotation I've seen on that is the V.I. Lenin. You know, we shall control the opposition by leading it. At least that's attributed to Lenin. And I would say definitely the 9/11truth.org, you know, with Kyle Hentz and David Kubiak and that bunch, they are just ops.
Well, this
right?
seems to be it. And, you know, and going back to not talking about things, I mean, we look at Judy's work on the hurricane. Now, at the very least, you must acknowledge, you know, one must acknowledge that the media covered this up because it was a risk to New York. You know, even if it was on a separate day to 9/11 and they hadn't reported it, then it would have been a big risk to New York. But it was actually on 9/11. And then we have people like Jim Fetzer saying, oh, well, Judy Wood says it's the power source. No, Judy Wood didn't say that. You know,
right.
And my expression for that is, if you can't cover it up, then just muddle it up, because that is what people are doing. We're getting these people actively coming into the scene. And,
even if the hurricane weren't part of this weaponry, this high-tech, exotic, turning massive towers to dust, you would want it publicized far and wide simply because the media covered this up. It shows, I mean, it's so obvious. You don't need any scientific knowledge.
Right.
To understand that the media were in on it.
Yeah. And this is the big risk, which is, you know, to them, as you said yourself, that when the media is viewed as being as guilty in the cover-up as, you know, as people like the neocons and all that bunch of crooks, you know, then more and more people are going to wake up. And that's why they want to keep the no planes issue shut down and keep the hurricane issue shut down. I had saw a post today on a UK forum where they tried to say that the hurricane was the power source. We've never said that. We said that it's a field component. And so again, you're getting this muddling up of things and trying to confuse things and people saying, oh, well, I'm just too dumb to understand this. You know, and I'm sorry, but, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a tower of babbling voices, and I can't make anything out of it. So I think I'll just go on my merry way and ignore it. My duty as a citizen, I'm going to ignore it.
So, you know, that seems to be the way it's working. If you can put out a sufficient quantity of confusing information, then you can, you know, you can really confuse people and prevent them from discovering the truth. You know,
what really annoys me is that they say, well, this no planes thing is so obvious rubbish that we've got to squash this and not bring it up, even though a lot of people go, aha, right away. You know, it depends on your audience. And then for them to say, you know, what's respectable is that a welding material called thermite, thermate, or any of it, a welding material turned these massive structures to dust in 9 or 10 seconds. That's the respectable position? Madness. Well, I guess we're being ushered off stage, Andrew. Thank you for appearing on the Dynamic Duo.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for everything you're doing and you have done, Morgan.
And you too. And this is Morgan Reynolds signing off. Please rejoin the Dynamic Duo tomorrow afternoon with Kevin Barrett.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on